website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
What does God's Word say to us in relationship to the peace agreement in Israel that I am so thankful brought about the release of a few hostages, multitudes still, their bodies not produced by Hamas and the terrorist organization that they are? Should we believe them? When we think about the second phase, stage two, of that peace agreement, I understand based on the reading of the 21, some say 22 stages in that total peace agreement. The second thing is for the Hamas, Islamic jihadist, to lay down their weapons. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about some of these facts, some of these details, and the underpinning from it. But the major, major thing is we need to look at what I'm calling global deception. Global deception. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to rejoice with the Israelis, the families that have been able to embrace loved ones that had been in the underground tunnels, living barely day by day, holding out the hope of being released. 2 years in the tunnels in Gaza, finally released. I'm thankful to see that take place. Those Israeli families are still praising God, thanking Him for the protection, provision, and ultimate release of their loved ones. But ladies and gentlemen, that second phase of the agreement talks about the surrender of all arms that are being held by the Hamas warriors. Will they do it? What does it connote? What is Hamas all about? What are the Islamic terrorists doing globally? How should we respond to them? Where did they come from? What's the origin of this terrorist group, this deceptive, degraded heart of those that are carrying out these horrible, ghastly deeds on a global basis? Yes, I know all of the world is focused on what happened in the Middle East. All the world's focused on what took place in Israel. Most of the world is focused on the fact that President Trump was able to work through and get a modicum of peace in the Middle East, of which we are thankful for. But there's a broader, deeper, more sinister problem that I believe that every Christian, every conservative, every patriot needs to recognize. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our subject today. That's our issue. We're talking about global deception. And that global deception, if I can give you a little sneak preview right now, that global deception is the deception that says that Islam and Christianity and Judaism can coexist. Now, perhaps immediately you say, are you advocating the fact that Islam is not to coexist and cannot coexist with Christianity and Judaism? Absolutely, 100%, bingo, you're on target. It's an impossibility. There's nothing whatsoever that would be a coexistent factor with Islamic jihadists. I've said this for many, many, many years. And all we need to do, and I'll talk about it further in the broadcast today, all we need to do is look out around the globe. Look at Europe. Europe today is controlled by the Islamic jihadist. All of Europe. That includes France, Germany, the UK, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, they have dominated, they are now dominating the political machine in all of Europe. So, ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say? Where did that originate? Where did those people originate? What are the biblical terms that we find in relationship to who they are and what they're called? We'll look at that in today's broadcast. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, when we deviate from the scripture, when we fail to allow the scripture to be the prism through which we view every event, we're failing to grasp and hold on to truth. It is the truth book. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now listen, I understand the society in which we're living in. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell, in publishing his work, the dystopian novel entitled 1984, published in the late 40s, the dystopian novel of Orwell said, and I quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now let me just do a little young blood parenthetical footnote there. We have a number of folks today in high office, political civil servants in government, number of folks today that claim to be Christian, preaching the truth of the Word of God in pulpits, that are bifurcating truth when they say, as Rick Warren said several years ago, that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. That's an absolute lie. There's no coexistence. There's nothing that is to be viewed in the same vein and view as Christianity and Islam. You cannot blend them. It's an impossibility. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those even today. Perhaps you're listening to me and you disagree. You say, well, Islam is peaceful. No, it's not. You say, well, Islam will not hurt anybody. No, it's not. That's not true. We need to go back to the truth book. We're going to look at that today. We're going to talk about the truth. We'll talk about what is the fundamental foundational error in the belief system and the Western culture and what is found within the realm of Islam. In fact, in the Islamic holy book, it is called the Noble Quran. And in the Noble Quran, in the back of their Quran, about 20, 25 pages, they take verse after verse after verse out of the Christian New Testament and write it out, and then pick it apart and denigrate it, laugh at it, mock at it, ridicule, and say that the Christian Bible is corrupt, and the only thing that's pure is the Quran, the Islamic Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute lie. It is absolutely untrue. And yet we have those in Christian communities, we have those that are anemic, ignorant, unlearned Christians that will embrace it and believe it. And I believe the warning bell needs to be sounded. I believe we're on the very cusp, we're on the very verge of witnessing what I'm calling a global deception. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of writing a book, publishing The Coming Global Islamic Control, if you will, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. And we're witnessing that global Islamic invasion today. Today. We're going to look at some of the parts, parcels, and pieces of that equation that I believe should cause us to sit up, stand up, realize that we're on the verge of disaster as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet the latest survey says that 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, in my prayer, listen, I'm going to put a little footnote on that. It's my prayer that that survey, which is about a year and a half old, it is my prayer that through the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that it's caused a lot of the millennials to open their eyes, sit up, and smell the coffee and realize what's happening in our nation and what needs to be done and the embracing of the truth of the Word of God. But according to the survey, it says 55% of them say that there's no absolute truth. In fact, the statement in the survey says that they make a point that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my position. That's my clarion call each and every day to you as our listener, that we would seek the truth. And if the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth, that means we seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You won't find it on CNN, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, etc. Truth is simply not there. In fact, when you go to Fox News, truth is becoming more and more elusive each and every day. But ladies and gentlemen, it was Jan Hus that said, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. It was the statement from Isaiah in the text that is so wonderful that I believe we need to recognize. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and I'll paraphrase it, says that there's coming a day when light will be called dark, dark will be called light, good is called evil, evil is called good. That's where we are today. Therefore, we need to stop the juxtaposition and realize and recognize what is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today something that I think every Christian, every conservative, every patriot must understand. I didn't say should, must. It is imperative that we understand that there is a global deception that is taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, that deception is coming out of the mouths and the voices of the Islamic jihadists and every aspect of that. I'm going to talk about that in as much detail as our time will allow us to do today. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what I'm calling the launching point, when we look at the 21-point peace agreement that President Trump has been successful in cobbling together. The second point, the second phase, is for the Islamic jihadists to lay down all of the weapons. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to quote you from Hamas themselves. Hamas said, in their own words, we will never surrender our weapons. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, even now the Islamic jihadists called Hamas slaughtering multitudes. You've not seen it on the Communist Network News. Hamas has been, in the past couple of days, slaughtering hundreds, dozens and hundreds, may I just qualify it that way, of those Gazians that they believe, they, the Hamas leaders, believe were tattlers that told on them, that reported them, that did not stand with them, that in fact stood against them, they're being slaughtered, machine gunned down, beheaded. You're not finding that on the Communist Network News today. I'm looking at a headline. Islamic radicals say they plan more terror against Israel after the ceasefire. A major milestone was reached Monday in the campaign for peace in the Middle East, specifically between Israel and the terrorists of Hamas, who attacked the democratic nation in 2023, slaughtering 1,200 and kidnapping hundreds more. It came as a part of the multi-point plan developed under the administration of President Donald J. Trump that called for the release of the hostages. Future points will set up a governing organization to make decisions for Gaza, where Hamas has ruled for years. The article further states, previous peace pauses often have been broken by the violence of the Islamists, and some of those groups issued a warning even as the peace deal was beginning to take effect. Quote, factions stressed that they have no intention of laying down their weapons and that they plan to continue military activity to achieve their objectives, explained a report of the Middle East Media Research Institute. The statement from various factions said this, at this decisive historic moment, we reiterate and emphasize our loyalty to the martyrs, to the prisoners, to the wounded, to the resistance fighters, and our adherence to our people's rights, to the land, the homeland, the holy sites, and all with dignity. Our determination to continue with the resistance in all its forms until our rights are achieved, first and foremost, to remove the occupation of Israel, to self-determination, and the establishment of an independent state with full sovereignty, with Jerusalem as its capital. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Their goal is has not been modified, not been modulated, not been changed. The goal of the Islamic jihadists is still this, is to destroy, eviscerate, totally have total destruction for the Israeli people and the nation of Israel, so there's no such thing as Israel. That's their goal. That's the manifesto, if you will, that's being set up. And yet it seems that the Western world does not pay attention to it. Do you realize, and I've said it before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say it again. In 2009, according to the Barna Report, the demographer said that by 2050, America would be controlled by Islam, would be an Islamic nation. Is there something about that statement that our political leaders are not aware of? Is there something about that statement that is being rebuffed, rejected, and refused by our political leadership? How is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, knowing that we will allow Islamic jihadists to be elected in the House of Representatives and in the Senate and make decisions for us as a nation? How is it, if we know the facts of what is taking place with the goal of total submission on a global basis, and Islam means submission, how is it that our civil leaders, our governmental leaders, the civil government, how is it that they are allowing the embeds and the continual immigration coming in illegally so and otherwise to come into America, take positions, run for office, and become dominant in the, the legalized invasion that will continue as a result of their leadership? Ilhan Omar. And others. I think we've got about five that you could call out and say they're Islamic jihadists without any equivocation, are those that are leaning toward Islamic Sharia law, which is no, in no sense of the word, compatible with Christianity, the biblical truth whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes today are losing their lives across the globe. We'll talk about that during this broadcast. Number of states across America have surrendered the civil rights of the citizens in America and in their states to the Islamic jihadists. Now listen, I commend President Trump for what he's done, but listen, all of those nations around Israel that joined in the mandate for there to be a peace agreement with a modicum of a future hope for peace for Israel, or Islamic states. You got Qatar. You've got Saudi Arabia. You've got Turkey. You've got Egypt. And I could go on and on and on, where it's just about 99.99% or 100% Islamic jihadist, if you please, the citizens there. And yet they have agreed to a so-called peace agreement. Listen, it is the appeasement of Americans. It's the appeasement of Western society. It's the appeasement of those that will embrace what they say and believe it is truth. You can go back and study Islam from its Quran, and there's 9 volumes called the Hadith. The Hadith simply is the musings and sayings of Muhammad, and it just frightens your socks off with what they say and what they do. You can go to the surahs. They're not called chapter divisions as we do. They're called surahs, S-U-R-A-H, surahs. You go back to the surah 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they will praise Christians. They will praise Jesus, etc., etc., though it's a totally different Jesus. And then when you get into like surah 7, 8, and 9, those surahs displace the previous surahs. Their Quran is not like our Bible. Our Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, the progressive revelation of God to man. It is the progressive revelation of God being shown, and there's nothing that is in any way conflicting, chapter after chapter and book after book in the Bible. That's not so in the Quran. The Quran is filled with pithy statements, no context whatsoever to be given, nothing that would be called chronological events. And when you get into the Surah 7, 8, and 9, they counter, displace all that was said in the earlier surahs. It is, and we'll talk about that later in the broadcast. So you have some Muslims today, some advocates for Islam, some that are appeasing Islam, that will say, well, they're peaceful religion. Look at what this says. Look, and they will generally read to you something in the earlier surahs and not the later surahs in their Quran. In fact, in the back of the Quran, I stated it earlier, there's about 20, 25 pages where the Islamic jihadist scholars will take the Christian New Testament, verse after verse after verse, give the verse, and then pick it apart, laugh at it, mock at it, and say that that the Christian Bible is corrupted and has no truth in it. The only thing that's pure and has truth is the Quran. Listen, after Muhammad died, the caliph system set in. Each time a new caliph, that is, we'd call it pope or leader, one of the major grand poobahs, as I would call it, when they come into leadership, they would have all of the Qurans of that day called back in, they would be burned, and then according to the caliph system, each caliph would then say that Allah spoke to him and gave him new revelation, and there are new surahs, new verses, we'd call it, that was given. That's how the Quran was assimilated. That's what brought about the Quran as it's known today. And just for a little footnote for your understanding, there's no such thing as a Quran that's accepted by Islamic scholars, except for the one called the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran is the study Bible, study Quran, if you please, for the Islamic scholars. And when it comes to the word jihad, the Western civilization production of the Quran says that simply means that it's the inner struggle for the Muslims. No, it's not. The Islamic scholars in the Noble Quran, in their study notes, the footnotes, simply say that jihad is the mandate for every Muslim to kill every non-believer. Hear that? To become martyrs, so that then becoming a martyr by killing a non-believer, that is non-Muslims, that is every Jew, every Christian, then that guarantees that Muslim that when he is martyred for his stand for Allah, that he will go to paradise with 72 virgins for eternity. Those jihadists that flew those jet airplanes into the Twin Towers in 2001, they still believe that somehow, some way, they're going to burn through that jet fuel and it'd be over. No, it's not. Then hell. There's no end to that jet fuel as they might perceive it to be. But they did that thinking they'd get 72 virgins by appeasing Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a wicked, retrograde mindset that allows that to take place. In fact, in my book entitled, Is Islam Tolerant? We need to understand some facts. And I quote in that verse after verse, surah after surah, directly from the Quran. And let me just do a couple of those before we move further. in the Surah 2191. Kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them. Kill them, such as the recompense of the disbeliever, non-Muslims. Surah 2191. Fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2:216. Jihad, that's holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. The surahs continue. Surah 4:101. The disbelievers, non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Allah has prepared humiliation and torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 4:102. Surah 8:55. The worst moving living creatures before Allah are those who are non-Muslims. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. But suffice it to say, we have a major problem today, and that's with Islam. So listen very carefully. I want to just point out to you that first of all, we need to identify just who we're calling the Hamas. We could simply say ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Taliban, or the Houthis, or Al-Shabaab, the Muslim Brotherhood, regardless of the name that's designated that you give them, depending on the part of the world that they're in. We simply are talking about Islamic jihadists. Islam means submission. And since the 7th century under the rabid, roving bands, a band of jihadists under the leadership of Muhammad, we've had the push to subdue the entire globe. That's the reason I'm talking about global deception. It is the push to bring all of the world under the control of Islam. Muhammad and his allegiance to the moon god called Allah. These barbarians have continued their quest for global control and global submission. I'm looking at a headline. Trump's Israel, a peace deal. Robert Spencer, by the way, Robert Spencer is one of the world-renowned studiers and evidentiary material about the truth about Islam. Robert Spencer says, what's next? Donald Trump's historic peace, Israel peace deal continues to reveal its impact across the Middle East, redrawing borders, exposing terrorist foundations, and testing the world's resolve. Robert Spencer, who warns that the idea of permanent peace ignores, listen to what he says, Robert Spencer says it ignores permanent peace, ignores the theological and historical roots of jihad. He argues that no political plan can overcome an ideology that views war as eternal and that Western ignorance about Islamic law leaves Israel vulnerable to the same old cycle of deception and bloodshed, deception and bloodshed, and deception and bloodshed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a cycle, and we're witnessing the rising up on a global basis, international global basis of Islam. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand, and I'm not trying to terrify you. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm not trying to bring about some conspiracy theories. I'm talking about what is factually found in the Noble Quran, Islamic Jihadist Holy Book, as it's called. And in 2006, the FBI came out with a final report in book form. I have the book in book form about the cause, what caused 9/11. And the bottom line was, according to the FBI research on 9/11, that killed about 3,000 people in the Twin Towers, not counting the other planes crashing and what happened there. That's summarize it, say, with the 9/11 FBI investigation for 4 or 5 years, finally in that 2006 report, said what caused the terrorist attack. And the bottom line they stated was the Quran. And the bottom line was in the FBI statement is because the link between all that happened on 9/11 was the Quran, the belief in and the carrying out the practice of what the Quran says to do. And it is a war, a blood-curdling war and more war with deception that is in the hearts and the minds of every jihadist, every Islamic. Some will say, well, don't you realize Islam is a peaceful religion? No, it's not. Never has been. In fact, I state in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, that when Islam grows to the point of 2 to 6% in any city, any state, any nation, or around the globe, when it gets between 2 and 6%, Islam will rise up and demand control by submission or by death. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the danger. In the balance of this broadcast today, we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at what's happening in the state of Texas, the state of Michigan, the state of Florida, etc., etc. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park.